true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I'm having a terrible day, like terrible. And it just kept usually when I have a bad mood, it just like doesn't last all day. Or when I do other stuff, I'm distracted from the mood enough that it's not terrible anymore.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's not happening today. I'm just like, everything is awful. Everyone is fired.
That was my last week. I'm just coming out of it myself.
Okay, now let's start with you, because you had a whole, I'm ready.
That's all right. I'll tell you what, you know, we go back and forth. I always claim to not totally be into astrology and knowing, okay, fine, but, and I do a lot of that, but boy, has the six planets in retrograde thing felt so fucking real for every single human around me and myself.
Yeah.
Everything that has to do with technology and agreements, right? Because that's the other part of it, is like contracts and agreements. Everything has to do with the idea of agreed upon norms and agreements and contracts.
Yeah. So what happened?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Can we give the listening audience a tiny bit of context, which is like, I get a text from you this week saying, I have some trauma. When are we taping?
I have some trauma to share.
And I was like, oh shit, did you get hit by a bus?
And now that I'm a little bit on the healing side of it, it's harder for me to be like, yeah, fuck yeah. But like, let me be true. Probably once I start talking about it, it'll come right back flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
So we touched on the very beginnings of it last week, what was sort of happening. And I was being pretty politic, and I'm still going to be politic enough to not name the theater company, just because no point in getting to that level. But I will be pretty blunt on the descriptors of what's happening. Should I just tell like sort of the whole overview story? You want that? Or just, I don't know.
What's the shortest way to include the most details?
I'll just start from the very beginning and do very little detail until I get towards the end of it. I was hired to be in a show that a good friend of mine was directing. I was very excited because I haven't been in a show in 3 years. I was going to be working with a dear friend of mine. And originally, Rami was going to be in it as a way of us celebrating a milestone in our life.
A pretty big milestone.
A pretty big milestone.
Let's say a bunch of years close to each other.
Yeah, 20 years of partnership, of whatever variety of partnership one wants to put on Rami and I. But we did 20 years ago stand in front of a whole bunch of people and celebrate that. So it became, as we were approaching getting ready to start rehearsals, our friend, the director, was kind of sharing with us probably too much in a sense, except now it turns out probably should have shared more, his struggles with the company around issues of like asking for more time and more space and more breadth of preparation in order to safely prepare this very dangerous, very physically demanding show.
Your friend, the director, was asking for more time and they were saying no.
And they were just like, we can't, nope, nothing. They were giving no, there was no, oh yeah, I see that we need that. What can we do? There was not even any working. And Rami was just getting the worst vibes out of it all. And finally, Rami was just like, I can't be in this. And they pulled out.
Yeah.
So that was like the first domino to fall. And of course, that was blamed on the director.
Why?
By the management of the company. Well, because he had been the one to really advocate and fight for them to hire Rami.
Okay.
And they're like, well, your person is suck. Exactly. You're throwing up a finger. And it's so much dumber than all of this. Let's fast forward. I got COVID. I spent the first week on Zoom. I wasn't really aware of sort of the energy in the room because I was on Zoom. It was going along okay. By the time we got to the beginning of rehearsals, the director was shielding us from what he was dealing with because he didn't want to burden us with it. He wanted us to be able to just do our fucking job and have a good time and show up. But he was under constant stress from this company, specifically from the artistic director. So once I got in the room, I became aware that the artistic director was always in the room. Or a lot of the time was in the room, just sitting in the back. And on every break was like pulling the director and the fight choreographer and the stage manager aside and like giving notes.
Oh boy.
And we would work on a thing and then we'd come back to it later and it would be changed with this sort of like pursed lips. Yeah, we're going to change that, you know, like, and it was obvious that he was trying to be, you know, good and not like.
He was trying to make it work.
Yeah, because this fucking artistic director is hounding and harassing. Now, I did witness some, like, I witnessed a very yelly phone conversation off, like, on a break outside once. And I was like, is he yelling at the artistic director? Is he arguing? It was like, oh, this is bad. So there was a lot of that going on. And then it all blew up on a Saturday at the end of my first week of rehearsal. And we've told you some of this, but basically an actor quit.
Another actor quit?
Yeah. An actor quit after 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know the reasons for that, so I can't say for sure. But I think it has something to do with some of the stuff that I'm about to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The artistic director tells us, then the director gets fired in front of us. Basically, we watch a hushed conversation occurring while we're all kind of arriving and putting our bags down. We become aware, oh, this actor quit. And now the artistic director and the director kind of having hushed words. And then basically he's like, you should probably just pack up your stuff and go.
Wow.
And I hear that said.
I'm like, wow.
What? So you just fired. So he leaves. We have a conversation with him in the fucking, what's it called? Parking lot. Then we come back in, are told by the artistic director that the director is no longer with the project, cites some reasons that have to do with, like, you know, he's a great guy, but he was doing this, 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 and this wrong, and he was wasting time doing this, and we should have been doing it this way.
Oh, boy.
And then he's like, so any questions? Anyway, so let's just have a rehearsal.
Wow.
And I interrupt. I'm the first to squawk. And I say, hold on. I just have to start by disagreeing directly with your one example.
Wow.
Like, your example of what we were doing wrong is factually incorrect.
Wait a minute. You just said we. So he had claimed that you and the director were doing something wrong?
No, he just meant, like, you know, the way you guys worked this bit, for example. Like, it should have been this, this, and this. And it's not in the script that way. And you should have done just what's in the script. You have a blueprint. You should work with it and not try and do all this other stuff. And I was like, literally, your example is wrong. Here, this is in the script. This moment, we changed it. We adapted it to fit the people who are there and to do it safely. But we did not add anything. You know, well, you should have just done it this way. I was like, oh, that fine. That's an artistic choice that you could make as the director. But your point about how we're working, your example about how the director was working was wrong is factually incorrect. And I won't let you say that.
And this is when I got texts from the two of you where you guys were, right? That's when we were voice memoing.
That was the day after.
Right.
Yeah, we memoed you. So then basically we asked the artistic director to leave the room so that we can have a conversation with the cast.
Because equity, right? Does equity?
Yeah, equity and the non-equity actors too. But just like, hey, hold on. We're not just plowing forward this is an unsafe environment. We're not safe here, emotionally, physically, or mentally safe. So hold on. And so we basically force him to leave the room. What? He's kind of like acting like, oh, you want me to leave? Oh, okay, I guess. And we're like, yeah. We decide we're not working that day. It's not safe. And we present a list of basically what we'll call demands. I'm not going to go into all the details of that. That's whatever. That's not interesting right now in the minutia. The larger version of it is then Monday night, we finally get an email that basically says we are shutting down this show and we're giving you 2 weeks notice, which is the legal requirement they have to do. They basically pay us two more weeks of salary and close the show, quotes, possibly to be restarted in the near future. And I think they're probably intending on asking a bunch of us back. And I'm like, nope, nope. I don't care who you get. I'm not coming back. Because I know, A, you'll be in the room, Mr. Artistic Director,
Yeah. And
you are crazy. And that's not okay. And here's the kicker on all this. This is the part, like, I'll tear up. I'm so enraged about this. I don't know why this part makes me angrier than the rest of it.
Okay.
But when we have our little conversation, there's a camera that's been sitting next to the stage manager. And when we have our group conversation, when we click, someone goes and puts a folder in front of that camera. As I'm like, that thing's on? When we're about to have our, what? One of the actors who knows how this camera operates covers up this camera before we have our private conversation without the artistic director in the room. This is on the day of the fight. And I'm like, wait, that thing's on all the time? I'm thinking this camera is here to, you know, occasionally record a fight or, a choreographed fight or a bit in order to, like, preserve it for, you know, the person who's in charge of keeping things safe to review, things like that. Nope. I come to find out this camera is always on and it is going to this person, the artistic director's home. It is live streaming. We are under surveillance all the time.
That feels to me, if that's me in that production, I'm immediately calling Equity and being like, quick question.
Oh, I have done that.
And?
Unclear. It's being looked into. I'll just say that.
Okay, good.
It was, you know, somebody already had a conversation with an Equity counselor, and I just officially wrote up my whole report today and sent it to the Equity business rep and said, this is not okay. If there's anything that can be enforced about this, I want to be on record. I am saying,
wow.
I'm filing official grievance that this is not okay. And we are not notified at any point about the operation of this camera. It's an open secret. It's one of those things that people kind of know. Oh yeah, this is what this guy does and then whatever. But I'm like, I'm never told this. Don't know if I'd have agreed to continue.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Every experience I've ever had at this company, which have been small amounts and then a lot through hearsay, I'll put it this way. I've been to probably 3 or 4 auditions there, each one more toxic than the last. Every person I've ever known who's worked there that I trust as a human has been like, this thing happened and that thing happened. And I'm like, oh, that's, you could call the police about that first thing. And the second thing is just normal narcissistic abuse. And he's like, oh, the people have said, yeah, well, that happened all day, every day. And I've been like, well, I don't work there because fuck them.
Yeah, that's where I'm at now. Yeah, we just called, Rami and I just for fun called a friend of ours not to complain about this. And we're just like chatting with them. And they live in New York, but they worked here a lot. And they go, oh, they're like, how's it going? I was like, oh, it's been a bit. And she's like, oh, how was it working with that narcissistic, psychopathic, asshole, crazy fuck, so-and-so? Like, unprompted.
Yeah.
And then she proceeds to tell her story. And I'm like, fucking what?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all having interacted with them and having heard what I've heard. And I'm really sorry.
So I called my friend, the director, just to let him know this other story, just to say, in case you're still gaslighting yourself on this whole situation, if you are still going, well, yes, and but.
I probably should have blah, blah, blah. No.
Blah, blah, blah. It's like, nope, nope. The only thing you, quote, should have done, which was listen to your gut before we even started rehearsals and walked. That's his one thing that he's like, he kind of was like, I should have just quit. I knew it.
Yeah.
All that is to say, that put me through it. I've been, yeah, I'll revisit it now. It's there.
Yeah.
Like, it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
All the pieces of it were like disappointment, rage, anger. You know, it's the earmarks of fucking white supremacy and patriarchy are just screaming at us through this experience. Like, urgency, and that's one of the earmarks, and unwillingness to relinquish power, and, you know, and then, like, I don't know where surveillance fits in that whole framework, but it feels like it does.
Yeah, sure does.
Yeah.
Dominance, control, manipulation.
Dominance, control, no trust, even worship of the written word, like that. That idea that, like, well, this document here is to be worshipped beyond your creative impulses, you know?
Right, like the Constitution or the Bible.
Right, or the fucking script, even. And then I want to honor the script 100%. But he's, like, using the script to cite why the director is wrong. And in fact, he's wrong about his own citation.
That's what I'm talking
about. But it's like using this written thing as a weapon. Exactly. It's like
with the Bible and yes, that's what people do with it, with any written text. Here's the Constitution. So I can
fucked up versions of the written word. It's not even what the fucking thing says.
Yeah, I can shoot you with my gun, or I can be this to you because Jesus, because the cross, because whatever.
A, it doesn't say that, and B, I don't care.
Yeah.
A, you're wrong about what the Bible says, and B, I didn't agree to the Bible.
Exactly. I didn't take that wafer.
Yeah. And then 3 days or so after all this happens, my back goes out, like bad, like all the way out, like my lower back, which is the support part, the part that says, that holds you up, you know, like so out. I'm so fucked. I'm like, I'm crippled at this point. It's so much better now. I finally, and I know that a lot of it is, you know, I know the back is both physical and emotional, but it's as if my body, soul, self, universe is saying, oh, motherfucker, you aren't going back. If you are considering going back, you literally can't, because you can't do the things that were being asked of you, even physically, not to mention emotionally, spiritually, mentally.
Yep. Huh. Yep.
It's like, don't even consider it. You can't.
Yeah. I've been there 100 times. Yeah.
And that freaking bums me out, because it's ultimately, it's the stuff I want to be doing. I want to do, you know, physically challenging, fun, cool, slightly dangerous, but not actually dangerous stuff, you know?
Well, you can when the environment is safe. Your back won't go out when the environment is safe.
Yeah, that's what I hope is true. Yeah.
I think it's true. Yeah, I know that to be true. I've watched you do all kinds of shit like this.
I've been doing it for years. Yeah. And so like, yeah, I watched a friend get traumatized. I watched a group of people that I'd grown to trust to a certain extent get traumatized, and I watched myself get traumatized, and I have a lot of rage and anger at this one individual. I don't have any regret about my own participation or my own way of inner behavior. I feel pretty good about being in alignment with myself on how it unfolded. I wasn't confronted with it until, and when I was, I spoke up, but yeah, it's been a lot. So that's my story. That's my story. It was, you know, on the one hand, it's just a fucking play. On the other hand, it's an entire life of like, what the fuck? You can't do this to other human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kes.
Yeah.
It's a poo. It's a real poo. You know what it is? It's if you took dog feces.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But like a thick, wide one.
Right. One like a Great Dane.
Yeah. That's real long, and it's so long it breaks in half right in the middle, like a clean break in the middle.
Okay.
If you took that, you put it in your hand.
I'd rather not, but right.
Exactly. And it's a sunny day, and you're on the beach. It's like 95 degrees outside.
And you don't realize it's in your hand at a certain point. You forget that it's in your hand.
Right. And then you go to close your hand real fast, just for no reason. You're making a joke about, what if I punch the guy? You make a fist, and there's hot, wet, melted dog fucking feces in your hand.
Or like you have a realization, you slap your hand to your forehead like Eureka, and it just goes into your hair.
Yep. Or you go to blow your nose, so you put your full face in your
hand. And you inhale right as you get there, out of shock.
Take a deep breath. That's what it's like.
It is like that.
Or, last one, people are passing a bowl of soup around a campfire. And everybody takes one sip out of it, but it's not soup. It's liquid dog feces that's been melted.
Melted and purified. Pureed, I mean, not purified. It really did feel like that. So I don't know if there's any questions or fucking lessons to be extracted or anything, but that's...
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe we can ask something, but Jesus...
I don't think you sound confused.
I mean, I'm pretty clear on what happened.
Yeah.
And where I stand on what happened.
Yeah. And you're also clear on, did you do the right thing? Yes. Yeah. Did everybody else behave who you trust? Well, yes. Were these guys dicks? Yes. What else is there to know?
Right. And I clearly haven't, quote, walked all the way through all the emotions, because I spent some time and I feel good about allowing myself to feel, but then you get tired of feeling.
Fuck yeah.
And you cheer yourself up and you move the fuck on.
Yeah.
And then you walk back up against it. And you go, there it is still.
Yeah. Hot poo in my mouth.
Hot poo in my mouth. It's mostly anger.
Imagine if you, when you ate the hot poo.
See, you just want to cheer me up.
And then you gargle, right? And your mouth is fully clean. And like a day and a half later, you're picking something out of your teeth and it turns out to be more poo.
Right. And it re-releases the whole flavor throughout your whole mouth. Exactly. It's a really, really powerful metaphor of very deep and profound impact.
I'm a spiritual teacher. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. I really get it. I'm sorry, boo.
That fucking sucks. It's fucking stupid ass bullshit.
Yeah.
And of course, I'll never work again. And that was the last show I'll ever be hired to be in. And
yep.
Right. You know, I might as well just quit trying because what's the point? Blah, blah, blah.
I know.
The lies we tell.
I know. It's really hard. I mean, the lies we tell, but also like the inherent insecurity in the industry. It is an insecure industry. You don't have fucking security. You can't ever be like, well, at least I got a paycheck. Well, I'll definitely get another. Well, my health and shit.
Yeah, that shit's gone. That's gone, gone.
Nothing is secure in that field ever. I know. I really know. Poo in a bucket.
It's ass butt.
It's butt ass.
I mean, I like it. I like ass. I like butt. So I don't want to use that. I like, you know, nice okay. Shape of a butt is a happy thing. So it. I don't like poo.
Is poo in a bucket on fire? Is poo in your hand melting?
That's on fire. So my hand is also on fire.
You're dying and eating poo.
At the same time. It's flaming poo shoveled into your mouth while it's still flaming.
That'd be a great way for hell to be made up. Like if hell was...
It probably is. If you believe in that, there's probably one room that's like, this is the flaming shit room. The eating flaming poo room. Reserved for Rush Limbaugh.
And Hitler and Cheney. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yep. I mean, the only thing I hear in the story is like, you know, when you're ready and able, let yourself be mad again.
Yep.
And you'll do that. Ugh, the back going out. Ugh. It's interesting. You and Rami, the back.
Yeah. At the same time. Well, theirs was out before.
Yeah.
And then mine went out. And then we were both kind of like, we only have one really good ice pack in the house. Trading it off. It's like.
No.
So bad. So bad. And here's a metaphor maybe for something. It got bad enough that I was wearing a pretty significant support brace just to get through the day. But then there was a day where I was wearing the brace. And then at the end of the day, I took it and I didn't feel great. And then at the end of the day, I took it off and immediately felt better. And I was like, oh, today was the day I shouldn't have been wearing the brace because it's actually doing damage.
Fucking hell.
It's making it worse. So I don't know what that spiritual metaphor is. Something about the crutch.
Or you just didn't know it was time to take the brace off.
Damn it. But I want it to be deep and profound and a message from the beyond.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just I have a fucked up back and the fucking brace is interfering with its breathing.
I think the back thing is really everything we push behind ourselves and everything we don't process and everything we don't want to know and everything we don't want to see. That is the metaphor of the back. But yeah, not knowing it was time to free your back. Like, how can you know?
Yeah.
You know when you know.
And it's like 80% better, which has me so happy.
That's really great. Like really having a bad back.
The worst.
It's really hard.
I'm grateful that my COVID thing was pretty fucking chill.
Okay. Say more.
I had 3 days of being a little bit sick. And many people I know are still even fully shotted and everything. A couple of people are just really on the ropes with it. And I'm like, damn, I was not. I just had to sit out a week because of, you know, protocol. But my body is fine. Thank you. Blessing.
Yeah.
And it. You had months of coughs?
My months of coughs were about not that, but I had like 2 weeks of terrible coughs about that. Really painful. And like many days in a row of like, well, hope I don't drown in my sleep tonight.
Jesus.
From liquid in my lungs. And then like several friends not being there who I then had to later be like, so I thought I was drowning in my own lung fluid and I kind of didn't hear from you. And it happened with a few people. And this is not to dredge that up again, because I'm honestly fine. But the shittiness of having to have a shitty conversation about having needed help when I already was like in hell.
Yeah.
It was with 3 different people. It was rough. It was just a rough time. And I actually like don't blame any of them. I think it was just miscommunications and astrology and nothing. But it was just such a hard series of moments in my reality on like all these layers. And New York was so hard. So many layers of hard.
What's up, everybody? Rami here. I have nothing to say today, actually. I had something to say yesterday, but I forgot it. Katie said that as someone with an open head and open ajna and open throat, that I have the freedom to not think and the freedom to be silent. Well, Rami's rules.
Okay, let's hear my grievance.
Please do.
Can we hear my grievance?
Yep.
It's because it's so inane and like, I don't even know. You ever just real cranky and like the cranky is untreatable?
Yep.
And like whatever you add to the cranky makes it worse. Like normally like a piece of banana cream pie would make you happier, but it makes you madder.
Right.
Like I made that up, but you get what I mean. Like just, I had a few small things happen over several days, small things. And then this morning, for whatever reason, I woke up just like, yeah, fuck everything. Fuck every fucking thing. And also just like, I've made a terrible choice and everything here is terrible and the neighborhood is terrible and the town is terrible and nothing's going to work out and the improv people are never going to have me on stage and the, like everything that's going so well, nope, it's all shit and nothing's happening and fuck everyone. My sister's dog is, we're having some trouble with him, which most days I'm like, okay, so I got to tell her and she'll find, together we'll find a solution. Okay, then we find a solution. Or he's shitty and then he's good. Or he eats all of Squeezle's food, but then, you know, we say no, bad dog, and then he backs away and then he's cute again. But today he like growled at me, lunged at me and tried to bite me 3 different times. Just because he was doing something bad. And I was like, either trying to move his body away or like say no or stand near him. And I'm like, I can't be afraid in my own house of a fucking dog. And he's a Bolivian street dog. So like, I had to message my sister and be like, hey, here's what happened. And I really need to know that you're working with getting a trainer because I don't feel safe here. She was so cool about it. She was like, I'm so sorry. What if we get gates and separate the living room kitchen area from the second living room? And then you could just be in a totally separate section of the house. And I was like, that actually works. Let's do that. That's great. Thank you. So like solutions are happening and whatever.
But you don't feel better because of them because you're still in the shit space.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm sort of like, it doesn't matter. And then I've started to worry about a bunch of things about the local area that like 2 days ago, I was like, well, yeah, those are things and that you just don't worry about them and you focus on what you're doing. But today it's like those things are all I see and everything. I would say I must be premenstrual because I do get like this on the day before. It's true. I do. But I don't think the timing matches for that. Like, I don't think I'm premenstrual. I hope I find out tomorrow I'm just gushing blood out of all my pores.
It's like, yes.
So anyway.
Well, from what I understand, the way it works, I'm just.
Oh, boy.
I would never.
I did. Okay, now I'm hesitant to say some of the stuff I'm specifically worried about because, you know, politically, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
But like, these are all things that could turn in a day and be fine. I just can't see it. Another thing is I could usually get myself pretty easily to sit down, do a spiritual practice into a feeling like this and alter it. And today I've been like, fuck that. Nah. I did, one positive thing, use the energy to submit 2 auditions. Like I was so pissed that I was like, I'm making these fucking auditions. You know, like I set up the thing and I sang the song and it's a fiery song. And so that felt good and productive. And I made this like big list out of anger that was like, I'm going to do this and this, and I'm not going to be stopped by this or this. And like, that actually feels really good to me. I've had many things in my life, which brings us to a really cool spiritual teaching that worked out well. To finish the first part of that sentence, like I've had a lot of luck in my life where when I get pissed and realize this is not okay, and this is not okay, and this is not okay, that's when I usually get pretty stubborn and creative and determined. And I go, you know what? We're going to build our own hut right over here because fuck you guys. You know, you're going to.
Because I'm an 8.
Exactly. I know.
That's a very 8 behavior, like inspired through contrariness.
It's so real.
It's great. It's great to have a trigger, I guess.
I mean, it's just a personality type, right? Like, fuck it. Anyway, so some of that is happening. So I feel like it's good friction in that way, in the same way that you need friction to create anything in 3D reality. I got some right now, so I'm fucking creating. It makes me think too about, oh, the spiritual thing is, and this is interesting. This came up in two sessions today with clients where what kept coming through was people being women in particular, because we get taught you're not ever supposed to have any anger and you're not ever supposed to be edgy or strong or loud or contrary. Fucking forgive me, universe, for being a female eight. Fuck everyone. So I had two clients who I'm in their records and I've been working with them for months now. And they're both, they struggle with passivity, which of course is why they're drawn to me, because I'm like, bitch, no. And they're like, how do you do that? And, you know, part of it is just, I'm just an asshole and you're a creep. And that's how it is. But part of it is like, it's taken me a long time to work toward where healthy aggression is something I'm willing to embody.
Right.
I've talked on here before about, I spent 2 years in therapy just talking about specific examples of, was this healthy aggression or was this me doing vengeance? Was this healthy aggression or was this me punishing? And she taught me point by point by point. And it was very helpful because anyway, so at the end of each of the, or at some point in each of the sessions, I was getting, you gotta be angrier. That was the lesson for both of these women was like, so one of them was saying, I wish I had my power. I can't find my power. Where's my power? And I said, all right, hold on. Tell me 5 reasons that lady's wrong and a bitch. And she was like, what? I was like, tell me, what are the 5 reasons that lady you're talking about is a bitch? Or I said, is a crazy bitch. Uh-huh. And she was like, well, I mean, this thing and this thing and this thing and this other thing. And then she was all in her fucking power. And I was like, that feeling in your gut right now? She goes, yeah, that's your power.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, and literally it changed her fucking life.
Yeah.
Because she had so much training on being sweet and sweet and sweet and nice. She didn't have access to what it feels like when you, like your story today about, excuse me, sorry, but no, the example you gave, no, that is power that comes from a willingness to say no, which starts with anger because something incorrect is happening.
Yeah.
So if you can't have, if you're not in touch with your anger, spiritual people who are listening, you can't have boundaries. And if you can't have boundaries, you have no sense of self. And if you have no sense of self, you cannot have a satisfying or fulfilling life. You will always feel disempowered and eventually you'll probably want to fucking die. My other client has had suicidal ideations their whole life. And when I got them to admit what they were pissed at their dad about, all of a sudden I was like, how's it, what, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your suicidality at? They were like, nothing, bitch. He should die. And I was like, exactly. Because you, sometimes the way to healing with certain topics is you've got to get mad. And spiritual people do not like that idea. Most people do not like that idea because we've all been scared by somebody else's anger, which is understandable.
Right. That's the thing is I avoid the anger and I also, yeah, I make reasons for why I'm not that mad. I make, well, it's the, you know, in a sense you gaslight yourself often, you know, because I want other people to fucking, I do want people to control their anger. I don't want people to just be fucking whipping their dick around everywhere in every direction. But, and so as a result, I go too far,
right?
Which is to just box my anger out.
That's it.
You know, and especially as a, you know, white man who's the, you know, dangerous, who's a danger to the world. I'm not. I am not.
Right.
And I am aware of that. But, you know, being aware that I don't want to be a threat to people or a danger to people or be perceived as a threat or a danger to people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can only imagine what it must be to be someone who is actually actively perceived as a threat, like a young black man. Jesus Christ, you can never show anger.
Yeah, or to be any woman ever that you've ever met, any woman ever.
You can never show anger because you're a crazy bitch who's on the rag.
Yeah, or who's hysterical.
Right. Which, I mean, what is the word hysterical? Let's look at the root of it.
Hysterectomy.
Yeah, it has absolutely, it means a wandering uterus. It means your uterus is out of joint. The word is, it's only women can can be hysterical.
See, and so what I kind of, to wrap that little teaching moment up, I'd like to say to anybody listening, is that like in this moment, like we just talked about that thing and I let myself get heated and then I'm just right back to peace right now.
Yeah.
How is that the case? Because anger doesn't have to control you. Just because you have anger about something, something incorrect is happening. If you have anger, it's appropriate to be angry when your boundaries are being crossed or when somebody's mistreating you. And then you can put it, you can let it go and come back to peace. It doesn't have to be, we also think of anger sometimes as this like all or nothing on or off switch. And it's like, we don't have to be so afraid of it. It can, you can turn the hose on and turn the hose right off.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I noticed that like, I'm afraid to feel anger because it literally vibrates my body. Like it makes my body vibrate. I shake, my inside just goes, but if I express that anger, that's different. And I don't have to, I can just express it to you, my friend, or I can express it to the person who deserves it. But expressing the anger feels very different than feeling the anger, which is just like feeling it or noting it. I'll even call it noting the anger because that's, we do want to, because when you notice it, you don't move through it. When you express it, you start to move through it.
I think here's how we would even be more specific. It's what they teach about anger is, I find this to be true, it's trying to get a need met that isn't being met, and that's very important to be met. So if you use a little bit of anger to express that the need really needs to get met, the need might get met, and then the anger goes away. So it's not that even expressing it all the time makes it go away. Expressing it is a means to an end, which is to get your needs met. Like you got your needs met in that situation. He heard you and left the room so you could have space to talk to each other. So the need got met. Then there are certain ways I'm hearing you say the need did not get met.
The need has not been met because there is no restorative justice in this context.
And that's why you're still angry. Not because you're wrong for being angry, but because they haven't met your fucking needs. And that's why all Black people should be fucking angry, because restoration hasn't happened.
Because there is no restorative justice and fuck.
Correct. See, so anger is a way that our system tells us something is not okay here and I need people to hear me. So I'm going to get intense so you will hear me. So I'll get my need met.
Right. And unfortunately, the opposite is often true. The angrier you get, the less you get listened to.
Well, but that depends on how you communicate.
Yeah. Or how the people in power who are in the position to meet your needs can continue to throw up blockades, defenses to your anger. So you can only do what you can do, and then it's on them to actually fucking listen.
Well, but here, what I'm getting at is that like for people who are angry about something, and if you're angry and express it and try to get your needs met, and then they don't get met, you can leave, like, or you can do something else. In other words, I'm not saying every person who's ever been angry has the possibility for justice. I'm not talking about how fucked our system is. I'm just saying for individual humans in an individual dynamic, relational dynamic, like in your case, you raised your hand because you have white entitlement and you felt privileged in an appropriate way. That's, by the way, there is appropriate entitlement and appropriate privilege use. You used it for good shit.
Right. And I was not in danger. I might have been in danger of losing employment, but at that point, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't want your fucking employment. I mean, that's the other, I'm very grateful. Here's the other thing it all pointed out to me is like, I then sat down and was like, what do I want? Why? I'm changing the subject. We might want to wrap up with the, if there's more to say about anger.
Well, what were you going to say?
I have a new subject, which is the idea of like, it always then calls into question. I don't want to, okay, do I want to do this? You know, it's like, but do I want to do it just to do it? No. Why do I want to do a show? Well, it ain't for this. None of these needs are being met. It's not, they're not paying me enough to make it actually matter. I don't even want them to pay me enough to put up with this bullshit. I don't care if I was making top dollar. No, nah, nah. But they definitely aren't paying me enough to put up with this shit. The show is not fun in the way I wanted it to be. It was not serving that need because it was so hard to get the work done because we were under such a deadline and we didn't have the support system we needed. So that's not fun.
Nope.
My friend who I'm supposed to be joyously creating with is fucking miserable. So that's not happening. None of it's happening.
Well, so I'm hearing you say none of your needs are getting met.
Yeah. So I'm angry at that too. I'm not just angry at them for fucking me. I'm angry at the sort of context for completely failing to give me what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then, so then I'm like, well, what do I, you know, if it's about, we talked about this last time, if it's about joy and fulfillment, what is good? And so that's all. I'm taking a lot of other work that pays me okay and I enjoy and doesn't stress me out at all.
Satisfaction and fulfillment. Yeah.
I have no rage to express there.
I mean, but there will be other shows that bring you that fulfillment and satisfaction that this could not.
Right. I'm still under the shock. I'm still existing in the shock and trauma of...
Fuck yeah.
Of feeling like...
As well you should be.
Well, if this is what theater is, fuck it.
All right. So to come back to my crankers, because...
Please, thank you. Let's return to you.
Because you're making me think about it by bringing that up is... This is wild because it's in my goddamn human design chart. I have a gate that's about sensitivity to rejection. Yeah. And I realized this week that because some of this crankersness is I'm experiencing some like several tiny perceived rejections that because the reason I feel them is because I haven't heard words from humans. I'm not talking about theater jobs, by the way. I'm talking about interactions with human beings. Mm-hmm. They've said nothing back. So I perceive it as a rejection. A. B. I'm so mad about this perceived rejection. I even get mad and triggered about projected rejections. They're gonna reject me in the future. So fuck them anyway. So I'm take my toys and go home. None of it's happening.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so like butt sore about like, it's just hit me in a butt sore about you didn't come to my blah, blah, blah. Therefore you don't like me. Therefore I'll never get to blah, blah, blah. Therefore it's all gone to shit. I was asking today too. I was like, is this the fucking retrograde? And even as I say it now, I get a no. And I'm like, so what's up here? What? And this is some deep shit. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This shit is hard for me to admit. I'm trying to form, I'm listening for the right words, but so you know how I've been talking about this area does this thing for me that's like, I'm very supported and I feel very like supported by the air, like grounded and nurtured and cared for and contained and all this shit.
Uh-huh.
I had this realization earlier today. I was walking the fucking dogs and I wanted to kill them both because they were being dogs.
Yeah.
They were like panting and I was like, fuck you guys.
Panting too loud.
So crazy. Anyway, I was like, wait a minute. Does this place support me so much astrologically, spiritually, energetically that I am safe now to just have my feelings like a normal person where I don't have to like go transmute them in the light all day? Like I can just have them.
Ooh.
And just be mad. Is that just suddenly safe? And that's fucking reading right now.
Huh. I mean, it's a good framing at least to feel a little better about feeling shitty. But that I also really like that. Like there's something in that that lands.
It's never been my experience where I'm just like having a bad day and just have a bad day. I'm always like treating it with the light to like get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this like an induction ceremony into what it is to be a person? Like, is this how other people live? And it's like everything I'm saying right now, by the way, they're going, yes, yes, yes. And I'm like, oh, weird. Huh. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Oh, and here's another humbling thing I can admit. Remember a couple weeks back on the podcast, I think it was on the podcast. I was saying like, I don't know. I seem to go through these cycles and this came to me in response to that, where I'm like, I don't even need to open the records anymore. I'm just the oracle now. I can just do it.
Yeah.
I realized that happens from time to time when there's a big upgrade happening or a big download happening. And I'm actually blown wide open in a real way for a while because shit is shifting around in here. again. And then it integrates. And then I become, I need the fucking records again.
Right. You go back to needing to do the ritual, to do the stuff.
And I just, this week, I remembered that I wanted to talk about that today because I realized each time I've said that, it's always been true for a time and then changed. So I've realized, okay, because I asked, is that because I was in a moment of activation and transformation? And they're like, yeah. So you get to see through the veils for a while just by walking around while you're being activated into something, but it's not forever, bitch. And I'm like, and you know what? After today, I feel like it's better that way.
You don't want to walk around as an open channel 100% of the time.
Also, I have a lot of power in my body. I need the humility that comes with needing the ritual.
Yeah.
It's good for me. Otherwise, I would get flip and casual.
Yeah, you might get a little loosey-goosey with it and just be like, yeah, I think I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
This seems like the records are open. Cool.
Exactly. It's like, nah, checks and balances, homie. Let's check you. So, yeah.
I wonder if that's similar to, I don't know if this is similar, but like one of the disappointments that was occurring in the show was when I directed my show, I found that if we warmed up in a very particular, playful way, but it was sort of ritualized every day, we did amazing work. And if we ever forgot to do that and went, we're actors, we can just fucking do our jobs, we know what the fuck we're doing. Like that day, you know, because of the way the schedule was or whatever, we all arrived and then we just got to work because, oh, we're da-da-da-da-da. And we'd be stumbling around like buffoons and kind of snapping at each other or not quite getting the groove. And then we'd be like, wait a minute. We'd go outside, we'd get in our circle and we'd play just a game, just one game, just one quick game. But we'd do our thing. And we come back inside and boom, we were done. We were rolling it. We were killing it. And that process was so in flow all the time as a group. It totally worked. And so I like talked to the director about that on this show. And I was like, can we please do that? This show demands a really in sync group of people who are looking at each other and going, oh yeah, you, I got you. And that thing that you did was funny and I love you. And it demands that. It's that go slow to go fast thing. Like, we're going to save time by wasting time here at the beginning of rehearsal.
That's good.
And they did a little bit of that while I was on Zoom for the first week. By the time I got there, they'd stopped doing it. And I was like, what the fuck? And the director basically was like, yeah, I was directed to no longer waste time doing that at the beginning of rehearsal.
Oh, fuck them. So hard.
And that's that system that says, A, we know better. B, we've decided how you can best work, and no recognition of the idea of like, actually, we will save time, you fucking assholes, if we are working in sync with each other and not like worker bees with a tote in that barge, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh, fuck.
And so by the time I got to the space, I no longer, none of that was happening. I didn't get to do it even once, and it never felt like a joy. So I'm just saying, yes, we are professional. And that's him saying to us, your actors do your job. You don't need this rigmarole at the beginning. But that rigmarole is beautiful and important, and it helps us to...
Well, and it opens the door to the channel of connection. And that's exactly. Just what I'm talking about. It opens the door to the channel of the records.
Right.
We need the ritual. That's good.
100%. 100%.
All right. Well, I actually have to go.
All right.
Because I'm dumb. Everything's dumb.
You got more stuff today. You're a busy, busy girl.
I'm starting to get busy again, and it feels correct. I have the left angle cross of industry. I'm meant to be busy. And I really wasn't for a long time. COVID, and I was so fried from everything and feel energized again. But it's like I'm coming back into life, and it's a weird transition. Sort of pulling myself. I'm like, I've been so hermited for a long time, and I wanted it that way. And now it's like, kind of coming out of the dark into the light.
I feel it. So express your anger. Feel it. It is okay. You are in a safe space to feel shitty. So that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love you, Katie. I'm really glad to be able to share this with you.
Oh, you too.
And for you to share what you're going through with me, that's fine. We're good. You're fucking just... It is kind of nice sometimes to just go, what a shitty day. All right.
It is good.
that motherfucker was bad.
I think what it is too in my world is I absolutely know it'll pass. There's no part of me that's like, I'm now forever feeling this.
Yes.
Which has been a lot of my resistance in the past. It's like, what if it never changes? Because in my 20s, I was like so fucked up, it never did change. I shouldn't say fucked up, but I had a lot to work through. So I never could get out of it. So I had to be positive all the time to try to combat the negative. This is like a cranky mood that will shift.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely faced the, if I actually face what I'm feeling, I'll never escape it.
Right.
I'll be trapped in it forever.
Yep.
Because it's far too deep a well and I'll never be able to climb out.
Yep. I think people are afraid of that a lot. And I will say, to be medically safe and responsible, there are some depressions that are so deep that I don't recommend you go straight down in there without help.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do need help to get through these things. I need help talking to you. I need help from the records. I need help with my therapist. Of course I need help. I need help from my loved ones.
Yeah.
It's hard. I feel so deeply for people who don't have support system. Jesus Christ. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I know you got to go. So.
Okay. Love you. Let's keep doing our work.
Katie, I love you.
I love you too.
Yeah. You can call me offline too if you need more.
Thanks, boo.
I got you.
Appreciate you.
All right, babe. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the
answers? Yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod, @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. It's just one of those days.